Originality.
You. Welcome to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh, and just know originality is on the horizon. Let's go.
What's cooking, good lookings? We are back. Welcome to Autographs. If you're new here, if you're not, thank you for being here. My name is Nick Singh. I'm your host. If you listened to last week's episode, you would have heard a story about why I am beginning my YouTube journey again after a few years off of not posting consistently and what really kind of deterred me from the platform in the first place and why I'm starting again. But anyhow, fast forwarding to this week's episode, I thought it was only appropriate to post the inspiration for me even wanting to be a YouTuber in the first place, which is Casey Neistat. If you don't know who he is, he's a really incredible YouTuber. He was one of the biggest influences in my life early on when I decided that I wanted to be a part of the platform. I think that the magic that Casey brought to everyone's lives was he made YouTube so palatable. He made it an opportunity that it seemed like anyone could have. It was in their reach. So after viewing his channel for months on end, I became this mega fan, as so many other people did. And, you know, I would describe him so influentially that I think that he's probably the most bit and most copied YouTuber actually on the platform because of how easy he made it seem. And the guy's an all-time legend, but what's impressed me most consistently about his work is not necessarily his films, but it's been his insights, which is kind of an uncommon reason to follow the guy in the first place. Most people followed him and have come across his channel because of how entertaining his videos are, which they totally are, but the reason why I stuck around as a fan was because every now and again, he would just drop what he was doing, look directly at the camera, and provide one of the most well-worded and incredibly deeply life-influential insights that I remember watching. And I used to wait for those very patiently as he used to upload on a weekly basis to see if today was going to be a day he was going to talk about something that had to do with general life advice, because I guess you could say at that time in my life, I really needed it. I still do in some ways, but I have a big part, I have a big thank you and place in my heart for Casey for providing a lot of that for me early on. So this interview was taken in San Francisco a couple years ago. It was at an event called HustleCon, so I want to shout them out. They host incredible events. This is not an ad. They're just great people over there. They become friends of mine. And I highly suggest that you check out one of their two annual events, either the West Coast one, which is I think their main one, still in San Francisco. And then they have an East Coast one now, which is in New York. I believe that they're still running it. They also have an incredible newsletter called The Hustle. You might follow it. It's really badass. And they were very kind to let me into their event and have me backstage to host a lot of this awesome content. So thank you, HustleCon. And for you watching this and listening to this, I hope that you enjoy. If you do like it, give it a review, give it a rating, and share it with a friend. Without further ado, I'll let you folks get into the episode. My name is Nick Singh. You're now listening to Autographs. Peace.
Where'd you come in from?
France.
Oh shit, you're in France. You're doing the stuff for Samsung, right?
Yeah, that video was unreal. When I saw at the end that it was filmed with an S8, I rewinded the whole damn thing and I just rewatched it all. I was like,
oh man, I love it.
Frick, man, it was incredible.
I've been wanting to make that video for 20 years.
Yeah, dude, that video's legit.
Ever since Hypnotize came out with Puff Daddy and Biggie Smalls on the boat,
oh, the helicopters,
that's I will have that someday.
Yeah,
I will have that someday.
Dude, man, you're incredible. By the way, are we all good on cameras, guys? Everything's rolling fine and well?
Do you want me to you or do you want me to camera?
Me. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Aaron, is the timer on? I want to click the time on my phone just because I want to. We should be good. All right, so why don't we just fly into it? All the mics are working out?
Yep.
Perfect, guys. So, Case, honestly, I want to start with something I didn't get a chance to ask you last time, and it was interesting because right after you left the room, I said, shit, I wish I had more time with him because I wish I asked this.
And here we are.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's funny how life works. You have a video, and it is the Draw My Life video. It's my favorite Casey Neistat video of all time. I show everybody I know that video. Anybody who doesn't know Casey Neistat watches that video, I make sure of it. And it just touches a part of me that I can't really describe in words. It's like a feeling thing. And I think it's about when you were younger and you were going through those times that you were going through. I want to touch on that for a moment, in that I know that you had some financial instability, right, when you were younger and you had family and everything like that. I'm curious as to how you were able to stay focused on giving, because you were so focused on producing things for other people. And I think that that's carried through to a lot of success for you later in your life. But how do you stay focused on giving when you just don't have much? Especially things like finances that kind of drive people really insane sometimes when they're lacking in that area.
You know, it sounds crazy to say, because I've been a father since I was 16 years old. So there hasn't been a whole lot in my life when I haven't either been a child or had a child. That said, the minute I had a baby, the minute my son was born, I felt like I had this purpose. And I know it's sort of a trite platitude to say a child gave me a purpose, but it's when I realized that my life was much bigger than just me, and I was here to serve, you know, to serve my family and the people around me. And I always sort of credit my family and credit my kids and my wife, Candace, as enabling everything that I've done. And I think when you look at life through that prism, when you look at life through that lens of, like, I only have this because of them, it becomes very easy to be as generous as you can. And look, I live, like, even when I was living in a trailer park on welfare, I was still quick to realize what a luxury life was. You know, I've always been healthy. I've always been able to stand up on 2 feet. I've always born in this amazing country. Like, I've been given opportunities that most of the world could never even imagine, even at my lowest. And I think being conscious of that, always looking to what you have versus what you don't have, and then doing it through the lens of a family and people that you love, it makes prioritizing life very, very easy.
And do you believe that's all happening for a reason, or are you not a fan of that kind of philosophy and line of thinking? Do you think that life is just happening to you? Do you view all your challenges and everything like that as happening for you? I'm really curious.
You know, I don't know. I think life in general is 99% luck and then 1% everything else. I think that you could look in the mirror and be like, I wish I was two inches taller, I wish I was better looking, I wish I had this, or I wish I had that. But the reality is, like, we still live in a world where, you know, I wasn't born in Aleppo, Syria. I wasn't born in southern Darfur. And there are people there that are, not to get too deep, but that, you know, there are people there who are human beings just like me. So why do I get born safe and healthy in the United States of America? And I think it's travel has shown me that, and experience has shown me that, but that's something that no matter what, no matter how down I am, I've come to appreciate just how lucky of a person I am. And that's a big driving force. It's like, I feel like if the universe is going to give me all this luck, then I'm obliged
to
continue chasing down the things that I love and helping the people who I want to help, and to live the best life I can possibly live.
For sure. And just to build off that for a moment, I mean, we spoke about this once before. You're a creator, man. Like, you push out more content than so many people on the regular basis, and it's insane the amount of work ethic that you have, the time that goes into it. I just started editing my own stuff recently, and now I'm thinking, holy crap, I wonder what Casey goes through with that crazy schedule. And it's really real for me, and I'm thinking to myself, how do you stay creating, man? Because there'll be something that'll happen to me, or I'll talk to my friends, same with them, where it'll be like a relationship thing, right? Something's bothering them, it's on their mind, right? Or something financial is bothering. So life happens, right? And you're trying to do this thing. How do you get back into that? How do you get back into the thing when life is happening around you and there's all this chaos, and you have to find a way to continue pushing forward throughout it all?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the recipe for creating, for the act of creating, is to never indulge in sort of intellectualizing the why, but always indulge in the craft itself. So I think the vlog is sort of the prime example of that. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know how to make 500 episodes of the same thing. But by indulging and really focusing on the actual process, it enabled everything else. It forced me to find a new idea every single day. It forced me to you know, harness creativity. But for me, it's always the work first. That's why I love the idea of motivation, and I have very little respect for the idea of inspiration.
Got it.
So I think it's whatever pushes you to actually do the work matters much more so than an idea that may be at the core of something else.
110%. Okay, two more questions.
Sure.
You know, there, do you know who Tony Robbins is by chance?
Of course.
Okay, cool. He's coming to New York, by the way. Are you going?
I'm not sure.
Okay, no, that's fine. I'll just that's my own stupid curiosity. I'm sorry. But anyways, long story short, he has this amazing thing where he says, you know, and I believe it, focus determines so much of success, right? That's pretty obvious, right? Where you're focusing is going to determine where you go. But he says, what's interesting is that what hijacks your focus is questions, right? Questions dictate your focus. Then he says that we ask a question, even on an unconscious level, that hijacks our focus more often than anything else. He calls it your primary question. And I'm curious, I know it's kind of an offbeat question because you might have not thought about this before, or maybe you have, but what's your primary question? What's the question you're asking yourself constantly? And to give you some examples, it's like people who are pessimists will say, what's wrong? Or what's missing? And that's what they're always filtering through before they actually experience something. What are you consistently focused on? And I'm curious as to why you're focused on that.
Sure, I mean, look, I think a brilliant artist came up with this, not me, but it's like art is where absolute narcissism and then crippling self-doubt meet in the middle is art.
Okay.
So, I mean, for me, like, the question is always the same thing, which is that, like, at what point in time is the rug just going to be completely pulled out from under me? Like, this is absurd. With my career.
Okay.
With my career. I'm a fucking dishwasher, and I belong in the back of a kitchen. And at some point in time, all of this is going to evaporate, and it is a sprint to do as much as I can before everybody figures out that I am a dishwasher and only a dishwasher, and that's where I should be. So that's my... I never forget that. It drives me.
Oh, my goodness, man. That's brilliant. Last two really quickly. I want to talk about a moment where you said to yourself, I mean, I wish I knew something, right? You're so far along, and it's like there's so many things that you're doing now. Looking back into it all in hindsight, there has to be a moment where you said, oh my gosh, if I only freaking knew this. What's that I wish I knew moment?
I mean, for me, literally, it's fundraising. It's like, I know I could go out now and just dominate when it comes to fundraising, but when I was raising money for Beam, I had such a lack of confidence in what I was doing because it was such uncharted territory for me. And I played it by the books in a way that proved very, very costly. I think that process could have been so much more successful. Had I known now what I knew then, I could have done so much more.
Oh my goodness.
But it was one of the few times where I was truly in a completely different world and had no idea what to do. And instead of just sort of leaning into my own confidence, I feel like I succumbed to fear. Live and learn.
That's beautiful, man. And last question to throw you off a little bit. Sam was telling me about this, the conference owner, and he was saying, you know, I'm really curious as to what Casey would say to this. And I said, I'll for sure ask him for you. And he said, what was his oh shit moment? What was that moment in your life beyond anything else? I'm sure there's a time. But what was that moment when you go, oh my God, face palm, what the frig am I going to do? You know, like, I have nothing against me, or sorry, for me going in this situation. How am I going to...
Sure. I mean, the first, my whole life is a series of oh shit moments, but I think the most profound one that I can remember is I had a good job and a good paycheck, and I quit my job to go off on my own in 2003. And I signed a lease on a place that I had enough money to afford for 1 month. So I literally had physically signed away the entirety of everything I was worth, and I had 1 month to figure it out. And that was a terrifying time in my career.
What'd you do?
Hustled, man. I hustled. And yeah, I mean, we figured it out by, like, I was working with my brother at the time. We got some 2-bit job before the month was up that paid us something, and we could pay the next month rent. And then it was like back to the grind. And that went on for a year, like 5 years of that, of literally that.
My goodness. Casey Neistat, everybody. Man, thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is awesome. Yeah, good question.
Great to see you, man. Seriously.
So good to see you.
Do you mind if I get a quick picture with you?
No, I don't mind.
Perfect.
Do it.
Me and Case.
Yo. Thank you for listening. If you did like it, I hope that you might share it with a friend. You know, the folks on my show, I'm never ceased to be amazed at the fact that the things that we get to listen to, both you and me, it's really their life's work. You know, these individuals have spent the majority of their lives putting everything into the things that we're hearing them talk about. It's really special. And also a special thank you and shout out to my editors, The Accents. These guys just continually crush it for me so far as editing my audio and making these episodes sound as great as they do. So thank you guys. Without further ado, love you all, and I'll see you guys next week. Enjoy your weekend.